basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 141 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey everyone.
And hopefully we sound a little bit better this week. We did have some audio issues in episode 140. We apologize for that. No one is more disappointed than us when it doesn't come out sounding quite the way we want, but thanks for all the feedback on the audio issues. We will do our best to avoid them in the future. Hopefully this sounds a bit louder, and that it'll, after my post-production efforts, it'll sound even better, so fingers crossed. So we are coming at you again this week. We're actually 2 weeks in a row to start the year. How about that, Ben?
That's a pretty hot streak right now.
It's, you know, setting the bar low, admittedly. but hey, why not? But we do want to come at you every week as often as we can. We did miss a lot of weeks last year, as we've not acknowledged before. A lot of, well, there was storms and there was technical issues and illness and everything got in the way last year. But let's not dwell on that. We are here to talk about our favorite subjects, basketball and basketball video games. And on the latter topic, there's not a lot of news, Ben, because it's that time of the year.
Yeah. it's almost like just that period where we're waiting for the new game. I suppose it is kind of already starting to hit to that, but you know, there's a dull period even like the NBA season and free agency before the season starts. So it's kind of like that for the basketball season or basketball video game season.
It's we're waiting for the first rumblings of the rumors of the new game and actual reported details as well, and anything that we can to latch onto. Of course, 2K are going to be tipping off their esports pretty soon, we imagine. We talked about that last week. No other real news. Both games continue to push through updates. NBA Live did get a roster update last week, shortly after we wrapped. Yeah, that's the way it goes. We did say that we thought the new roster would be coming, because it usually does come Thursdays, the same days that we record, or Thursday US time, so hours after we finish wrapping up recording. So we did expect that to happen, actually, and hoped it would, and still some missing players and whatnot. I haven't actually put out another analysis article on the rosters for some time, and I haven't really combed through them, so I probably shouldn't talk through them about them in detail until I do that. But those updates continue. But apart from that, not a lot of announcements. So this week we've got more suggestions from the community. Thank you once again for your topic suggestions. So we will, of course, be talking about the games, not news as such, but just our thoughts on the games, because we obviously do love basketball video games and play them. So we do have some topics to discuss, and some good topics, Ben.
Yeah, we do.
It's been good to get those suggestions, as I said. So, without any further ado, let's dive into this week's discussion. This is where I'd love to have a soundboard. You see, hit the button and it comes this week's discussion or something like that. Instead of me just singing it badly, actually have something on the soundboard. But unfortunately, our budget does not allow for that at this time. donations will be accepted. No. So last week we talked about what NBA Live needs to do to catch up to 2K. We talked about what we want to see from both Live and 2K as far as wish lists, and we do need to start those wish list threads in the forum ASAP, really. But we do have some more topics following on from that this week, and we're starting out with the question, do we think EA has done enough to draw in a bigger crowd for NBA Live 17, or do we think they're in any danger of all getting the plug pulled unless they up their efforts to get more people playing Live 16? So, yeah, have they done enough to keep the interest in the franchise, or should they be doing more to get people interested in this year's game so they can really carry that momentum into next year?
That's a question. I mean, I'd like to know, admittedly, you know, if sales and stuff have improved since we last sort of heard what they were.
I haven't looked at the charts, because I admit that's probably something we should cover in more detail. We've talked about it on the podcast. I don't really post many bulletins about sales. We focus on content for the games and playing them rather than the economic side of things. But that is a valid point, probably, that we should look up. But I imagine they are a little bit better, hopefully.
Yeah, let's hope so. And you want to hope that they have. I mean, in terms of what they've done, though, since I think there could be a small chance, maybe not. I think.
Well, I imagine more copies have moved since that first.
Oh week. Yeah, but
nothing else.
But have they done enough in answering that question? Probably not. I do think the game was a little bit too light for what they really needed to do. So, and I think, and maybe I don't know if enough people know about the free trial thing still, so like being able to still play the demo side of it, just the casual people that wouldn't necessarily go to LSC or OS or anything like that. So I don't know if there's enough publicity like to the mainstream media that would to be aware of, that you can play the game for free and all that stuff, or at least give it a trial, or even with EA access and stuff. So
Sure. Well, if you look, I'm just looking at VG charts for whatever, however accurate that may be. I believe they tend to be fairly accurate in their numbers, but as it stands, they are the only numbers that we have at this time. So NBA 2K16 has currently done, if I'm reading this right, 5.8 million global copies, and NBA Live 16 has done 170,000, which is obviously far less. But I mean, it's not like they've only just sold. They talk about the 8,000 in the first week. It's not still stuck on 8,000, so
That's positive.
that's encouraging. I'm just taking a look at I'll take a look at NBA Live 15 to compare. Just what do they have for 15? 15 was 380,000
Okay.
global, if I'm reading that correctly. So, I mean, it's down from last year. And actually, interesting. I'm just looking at this. In North America, at least, Xbox One version outsold the PS4. This way, it's this year. It's the other way around for Live 16. So Live 16 is trailing Live 15 at this point, which is not good news. We've talked about why and whether that late whether that event in New York, and Izzy brought this up as well in the forum, whether that event in New York kind of turned people away from the game because it wasn't showing the game in the best light, and whether. And certainly once it came out that the game didn't have an upgraded dynasty mode or roster editing, things like that, I think that also hurt them late in the game as well. We've talked about that before. So, but I mean, well, it sounds like we're trying to make excuses here. The fact of the matter is that it hasn't sold as well as 15 at this point. So the question, getting back to the actual question, has it have they done enough? I think there's still people that want the Live brand to succeed, or they want there to be an alternative to 2K. So I think the interest is always going to be there if they can show it. I think it goes back to what I said last week. There can't be any more next year with NBA Live 17. A lot of the stuff is now or never as far as getting Dynasty up to date and roster editing back in the game, all those essentials that need to be a part of the game. If they bring that in Live 17 and continue to make those other improvements to animations and everything, I think that will sell the game more so than, I mean, post-release support for 16 definitely helps, and I'm certainly not against it, but I think ultimately it's going to be 17 really wowing in the previews and its feature set more so than anything that they do with 16.
I agree. I think, they basically need to go all out. And that's what we sort of stated last year. They got to have all that depth stuff. They got to have the roster editing stuff. And yeah, they can't do next year, next year. I mean, even if it's just having a good enough foundation in the game mode, then maybe they can say, okay, we can do a bit more next year in that sense. I think that's.
Oh yeah, I mean you can't have it all in one year. You can't put it all in, but you do need that stronger foundation. You need to bring back a lot of the basics, a lot of the basic features of Dynasty Mode. As I said last week, a transactions menu, transactions listing screen, not in Dynasty Mode. You can't edit player numbers so that if you trade for someone you don't want number 23 on the Chicago Bulls because blasphemy, of course, you can't do anything about it. You've got to w let the game assign a new number for you. So yeah, it's that. I mean, they need more than just the basic stuff, but they absolutely also need to have they need all the basic stuff, but they absolutely need to have the basic stuff at the bare minimum. So yeah.
If they fail to do that, then that's going to hurt the game and their sales.
Well, I mean that brings us to the other point. Do you see the plug getting pulled?
I think on a sim-based sort of game, maybe. I mean, they could probably go at best something like a mobile sort of free-to-play type
Sure.
model.
Or would they transition Live into a more of a full-blown arcade kind of, or a hybrid, an arcade sim hybrid? Would they go in a different direction completely, for example?
No, because I think that's kind of what hurt them a bit with.
So some would say that's what the direction they've gone too much in that direction to begin with. But although I, there are the sim elements in Live are underrated and underappreciated, I feel. not saying that they are on 2K's level, they can't and shouldn't get better, but they're already doing, they're already trying to go down the sim path already, so yeah, no. I would like to think that they're still going to get a couple more chances, at least from the EA brass. I mean, whether the consumer gives them another chance or not, how many more chances the consumer will give them, yeah, that remains to be seen. I mean, we've already seen the live 16 sales being less than 15. That may speak for itself. But I think I remember Sean O'Brien on our interview with him back last year. He did say, I mean, he alluded to NBA Live 18. Now, I thought they only had the license through NBA Live 17. So, I mean, they're obviously planning to keep making NBA Live as long as they can. So, whether they get the green light from the people writing the checks to do it all, yeah. that's again, remains to be seen. But, I mean, they didn't pull the plug on 14 or 15, which had their problems. And I think that the game is at a point where it's past being cancelled. I mean, every year someone says it's going to be cancelled when they see a screenshot or whatever. I think it's the point of being... That's the point of having the plug pulled on it, at least while they've got the NBA license. But whether they can actually get to where they want to be, that's what remains to be seen. There'll be a game that comes out, but whether that game that comes out is the game that we want, that's what, again, remains to be seen.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want it to be cancelled. I mean, growing up with it, but the fact that...
I mean, the sentimentality, plus the fact that we need an alternative.
Yeah.
You've seen what's happened with games like with Madden or the NHL series. I think a lot of people still enjoy those games. Obviously, a lot of people buy them, but the lack of competition is something the sports gamers don't like.
Yeah, and yeah, they wouldn't be doing themselves any favors at all if they... the NBA wouldn't in itself wouldn't be doing any favors if there was only on one game out there in that sense. So
not everyone's happy with 2K.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
It has its flaws, yes. But yeah, given that they aren't as...
pronounced,
yeah,
shall we say, but even if it's not just the flaws, but simply the way of approaching certain modes and controls and gameplay and such, people still have their preferences. So yeah, but we talked about what we want to see live do last week, and I'm sure we'll revisit that again. But it actually leads us into our next question on a similar topic: what's stopping live from releasing a game that can compete with 2K? What is holding NBA Live back?
I think the way maybe this studio is run in terms of hierarchy with the suits, as I suppose the term usually sort of goes, maybe too many meetings, not enough actually physically working on the game.
Okay.
That might be one thing. Resources in terms of, there might be some people who have some great ideas on the game, but and what they want to do with it there, but
whether they're not getting, you mean whether they're not getting the funding or the support of the studio?
Yeah. I mean, and it could be again the executives saying no, got to cut down on this, got to cut down on that.
Sure. I mean that's a possibility. It's a possibility. I mean, I think the game has been hurt by trying to reinvent the wheel. I mean, the whole NBA Elite 11 debacle that set them back. You know, scrapping what they had and rebuilding from scratch has set them back, and that's why whenever I see somebody say, oh, they need to scrap everything, start again, no, they don't. That's the last thing they should do. Also, you can, what works really works in live. What doesn't work doesn't work. That's the problem. A lot of the fundamental parts of the engine seem to be okay and working pretty well as far as the basic concepts of, especially in Live 16, the player movement and everything that's been the best probably that the series has ever had as far as players actually moving with purpose, to use that stock phrase that they were using for a while there. But I think it's basically been starting over. They've had to rebuild and get the quality up to scratch. And so they're playing catch-up while 2K has had that established tech in place. And so 2K has been able to build on the more solid foundation for years upon years, whereas Live has just been trying to establish that foundation. That's what's held them back. And you look at some of the... They've made some really great improvements from Live 14 to Live 16... But in that time, 2K has had the more solid game. They've been able to put a lot more stuff into getting MyGM in there and My League and My Career, even though you and I have not particularly enjoyed some of the storyline aspects of it. You know, the effort is certainly still there and the production values.
Yeah.
So it's Live has been... It's hard to compete when you're constantly trying to catch up or get to a level where, you know, you've got this solid product. And Live 16, in many respects, is pretty solid as far as what's established. It needs more polish, basically. There's a couple more topics where we'll talk about what kind of polish that entails. But and it also comes back to what we were talking about before and last week as well, the next year mentality, which I know is hard because I've only got 12 months to work on a game, so that doesn't help matters at all. And then do post release support for the currently released game as well. That doesn't leave them with the time and the resources to, you know, to do everything they want to do within one production cycle. But the fact that they are at that disadvantage from the start of having to get back to a solid foundation, and then it's harder to catch up because 2K's had that solid foundation to build on, which makes it much easier.
Yeah.
I mean, easier. I mean, people say that they can, developers can easily do this and that, or, you know, you don't just type into a computer. Player will play realistically. My GM will work realistically. Yeah. You know? don't type it into a notepad, save it as a game file, and then suddenly it works. It's a lot of coding, a lot of stuff, but, you know, if it was that easy to make the perfect basketball game, we'd have a perfect basketball game by now, basically.
That's for sure.
From EA or 2K, if it was that easy. But no, I think the only thing that's stopping Live is false starts, basically. False starts have set them back, which has been unfortunate. And that's why I don't think they need to scrap it and start again. I just think they need to put as much effort as they can to work with what they've got and build on what they've got now.
Yeah, and hopefully the results will show. But yeah, like with the... I guess it may be social stigma that, you know, that EA, with their rep and that Live is sort of like a passive-aggressive joke in terms of how people respond to it.
You've still got people on the Facebook page, the official NBA Live Facebook page, some of those drop and say, oh, hey, who do you think is going to win this week? And someone says, oh, NBA 2K. And, you know, it might have been kind of a funny swipe the first 10 times,
yep.
Maybe. And now it's kind of like, well, yeah, joke's old, fella. It's... If you know, yes, 2K is what it is. So enjoy 2K. You know, why are you here to make trouble? It's I don't get that mentality, no matter what the subject is online. You know, I'm not a fan of trolling. Maybe it's my years of being an admin in the forum. I'm allergic to jerks online. Bad reaction, but not saying that people can't do it. Not getting on freedom of speech, but freedom of speech doesn't mean that you can't. What you say cannot be criticized. So. Yeah, it's like you say, it's become a punchline because of the shortcomings. So they're fighting against that as well.
Yep.
People are not having the awareness, you know, people's... And I talked to Corey and Mark about this on the post-game podcast when I did the show with them last year. And it's kind of like when people would say, oh, you know, you've got a Nintendo to refer to any game console in the 90s, or now you've got a PlayStation or an Xbox. You know, people using... they know the term of one particular popular brand, you know, or you're using a Band-Aid because Band-Aid's the popular... adhesive plaster,
yep.
For example, you know, genericized trademark almost. You know, so people talk about NBA Live. Oh, you mean NBA 2K? No, NBA Live, the EA one. So there's kind of that awareness that isn't there, especially if when you look at the difference in sales numbers.
Exactly. Yeah, I suppose they seem to own the market in terms of it with what they've done, and I mean they deserve it in a lot of ways. But you know, Live had that sort of thing back in the 90s in terms of it before. The ball was dropped, I suppose you could say. So, yeah, it's just it's still a lot of work for me to regain it. I mean, how are they going to regain that consumer's trust and that, and
put out a good game? I mean, if you got to follow up on the hype,
yep.
and deliver a product, people will say, well, hey, you know, the people who are getting a bit sick of 2K and not happy with everything they're doing might say, well, I want an alternative. What's Live doing? And maybe in the last few years they're saying, well, it's interesting, but not quite the level I want. If it's starting to get that level I want, that they want, I should say, they'll say, okay, well, now I'll give Live a chance. I mean, there's still people downloading the demo. Even the people who are speaking negatively are still checking out the Live previews. So if Live does impress, then a few of those people might be swayed. You know, some people you'll never get, but, well, you're never going to get them. So you basically have to get the audience that are actually going to be interested. But to do that, you need to deliver. And that's, as we said last week, there can be no next year or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, some things can be next year, but certainly a lot of the stuff has to come this year. There can be no more next year on a few of the things, at least the basics that still need to get back into the game. But just to wrap up the competition question, do you think perhaps for now, Live should not be trying to compete per se with 2K? Do you think they should simply be competing with themselves? I mean, we talk about when somebody gets in an exercise regime, like... Some people might do something crazy like run 5Ks for 1,159 days in a row. You know, some people. Some crazy, crazy people. Do you compete with other people? And this goes with all the keeping up with the Joneses in your life. You know, do you want to be the first one in your friends to get married, or do you want to make the six figures? You know, how competitive are you with other people, or are you happy with your own life? obviously Live does need to compete with 2K to a certain extent, but at some point should they simply be trying to top what they've done rather than be looking at what 2K is? Is it about competing with 2K, or is it about simply making Live the best it can be? And then sort of letting it speak for itself as far as any competition is concerned?
To be honest, I'd say these last 3 years have been about them competing with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to get a game with that actually releases, to actually get game, like, build that foundation enough where they're solid in that. So I think these last 3 years have been just trying to compete with themselves. I think now it's...
Now it is about competing with 2K?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if they...
That's a fair point, yeah.
Yeah, and I think... I really think, like, if we'll say the... I know they're sort of rebuilding, and especially when they moved the team from 2012-13 and that, so they didn't quite have a full solid team yet. Life 13 got cancelled, didn't it? That's right.
Yeah. Life 13. That was before Sean O'Brien came back, actually.
Yeah. I think they wasted a lot of opportunity. Like, from things that we heard, you know, they spent a lot of time
looking when they decided at Elite to skip 11. 12.
Yeah.
When they cancelled Elite 11, decided to skip 12 and then tried to make the comeback with 13, yeah.
And, you know,
I mean, we all thought that those years were going to be spent, you know, rebooting the franchise.
Yeah. You know, that seemed like a wasted opportunity in there. And then hearing things that the development team spent a lot of time, like even months, looking at Elite 11, you know, and playing in that and sort of seeing what the other team had, you know, had done and all that stuff, that seemed like wasted time where they should have just started really just building something, you know, work on that engine that they were going, that they were hopefully going to achieve. I mean, so yeah, I just think, or even, you know, start really planning on the game modes and stuff like that, then they wouldn't be so far ahead, you know. Really, yeah, it just seemed like a wasted opportunity to really have that extra time, just because working in a year to release something is so difficult, and then the game fails to launch, and that
and it ruins the consumer trust and the faith in the brand. And yeah, I agree. It comes back to what I said before. It's the false starts that have set the game back, and it has stopped it from competing, sadly. So as always, we'll see what the future brings as far as Live 17 and 2K17, starting those wish lists topics very soon, as I said. Before we move on to some other topics this week related to the video games, we're still on the criticism train at the moment. Suggested that we talk about some of the crazy animations in NBA Live 16 and NBA 2K16. And again, I would actually say that's more of an NBA Live problem than 2K, although 2K does occasionally see animation issues in 2K, but as far as the really crazy stuff, you're really looking at NBA Live. NBA Live 16 is a lot better than 15 in a lot of respects, but you still see those animations, sadly, that are a bit funky and whatnot, whatever adjective you wish to use. I find that the dribbling animations in Live tend to be really good. You get some really good dribbling animations, dribbling moves and simply players just moving around the court with the ball. It's in the paint. It's the shots that really seem to be the weakness in Live. A lot of the dunks and the layups still look very last gen, if you will.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I mean, a lot of ways I prefer NBA Live's animations for the dribbling over 2K's and that. But yeah, then it's after that where the game starts to drop a few notches in terms of that sort of thing. So
when something looks good in Live, especially Live 16, it looks really nice, really good. When it looks bad, it looks really bad. That's the problem. There's a real, you know, I don't like false dichotomies. You know, I don't like the tendency we have online that it's either really good or crap. You know, there's no in between.
Yeah.
But with Live, there's not a lot of in between. What looks really good, and what looks bad looks really bad. You know, it's very opposite ends of the scale with Live. And I do think they really need to start phasing out a lot of those old animations.
Yeah.
And the transitions. We've talked about it before, the transitions. And that's what makes the animations in Live look a little bit weird. Because you get a really nice one and some really nice rim interactions on dunks in particular with Live. But yeah, when it looks funky, yeah, it does look really awkward. So it's
And even if EA, you know, spent some time talking to some maybe like even Naughty Dog animators, I mean, the stuff that they do, especially with the facial animation stuff, where it's all hand drawn, to other things, you know, if they started talking to those, get some tips, You know that.
Well, you know, the facial movement and muscle movement in live is actually pretty impressive. Like, you can see the muscles flexing in live 16. Yeah. So there's some pretty good tech there that they are using. That's why people say that it's, oh, they're just saying it's a new engine and it's not. There's some new tech that if you go back and look at the last gen, you know, the muscle movement and everything was not there. So there's definitely new tech being employed, but it's just not all come together yet. The polish is not there. Some of the old animations are still being used. A lot of the dunks, I think they are, I mean, they've been motion captured. They are dunks that you see people, see players do in real life, see them perform. They just don't look quite as realistic enough. With 2K, I think 2K's animations, for the most part, do look really good. There's the occasional hitch, especially with the dribbling animations. 2K, if 2K is an animation problem, it's that the animations, you still get stuck in them.
Yeah.
And I think 2K's, the main problem with 2K's animations, in my opinion, is getting that balance between player control and the animation quality. Animation quality is really good. Control's pretty good these days, I feel, but it's still not quite there. Live's got really good one-to-one dribbling controls and whatnot, and really, really great one-to-one controls, but the animations don't quite look as good. So both from opposite ends of the spectrum, both developers are kind of coming together on that whole how does it feel good and look good problem.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and for me, with some of 2K's animations, is how the CPU still takes over. And again, and it sort of comes into that moment of lost control, is sort of just
yes,
breaks
yes.
that immersion. You know, it's like, well, that wasn't what I was doing. So, you know, and it goes the wrong direction, steps out of bounds, those kind of things. That's when you sort of have those controller throwing moments.
Yes, that's, again, yeah, it's the out of control moments. It's the game looks great, but doesn't necessarily, you've got that feeling of being out of control sometimes. Been a problem with 2K for, I mean, that has been their long-standing problem, that the hitches and the dribbles, the losing control for a moment. Live is, well, actually, the last couple of live games have felt very stiff on the sticks. Live 16 feels a lot better with its one-to-one control, as I said, but you do have that, the animation quality as far as looking. Now, the controls feel fluid, but the animations still look a bit stiff. So it's still coming together as far as getting the right polish of it looking and feeling great. Both games are coming together. I think 2K is obviously, with its animations, a little bit closer on the goal, but I still like Live's controls. So that's why, another reason we talk about why we want to see Live succeed, it's not just nostalgia, it's they are doing some things that have got, they've got some good concepts, some good tech. We'd like to see it come together.
Yeah, it's just fine-tuning and polishing and then just, yeah, adding more depth to it. That's all it is, really, for them. It's just doing those, that'll get them on a good path. And then
I also think that when you, often with 2K's animations, when you see a bad one, I don't notice it until I'm in the replay. And it kind of goes for Live as well, but I notice more of Live's animations, the problematic animations when I'm playing. With 2K, it's if I'm watching someone else play or watching footage of myself play, I'll notice it more, but I don't see it during gameplay. And that's when you're trying to replicate realistic movement of and real life, as sports sims do, you are going to have those moments of, oh, it's a video game, so there's only so much we can do.
Yeah.
You know, there are going to be some glitches and whatnot. You know, it's how much you sort of notice during, in the thick of gameplay, and whether it really distracts you and takes you out of the experience. That's the problem, I think, that people have with Live, that it's still, there are some animations that are distractingly bad, or distractingly unusual, shall we say.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
It breaks that illusion, that's the immersion, the experience, basically.
Yeah.
But I do think it is more of a problem than Live. I mean, if there are some really problematic animations with 2K, I'd like people to actually point them out, because, I think 2K's animations, that's one area where they don't have a lot of problems. I mean, I think 2K, that makes it sound like I think 2K's got a lot of problems. 2K is a very good game, you know. It's a great basketball sim. But the problems with the animations and control are that losing control, not so much that it doesn't look good, it sometimes doesn't feel good. That's my take on 2K's animations anyway.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
So, All-Star Weekend is coming up, Ben. It's coming up in February, about two or three weeks away, I guess?
No, about a month, isn't it?
So we're halfway through January, so yeah, probably about a month. 2 or 3 weeks. I failed high school math. So also weekend, about a month away, we do have the second returns on the All-Star voting, which we'll be talking about in a little bit. Of course, All-Star weekend was in NBA Live back in the day. NBA Live has had the, between NBA Live 2005 and 2009, we had the full All-Star weekend, which I think we both really enjoyed. So what are some of our memories and what are our thoughts on bringing it back?
Well, I for one would like it back again, just an extra mode and something fun, and you know, when you, especially with some of the events and stuff, you know, just yeah, if you're not really up for a whole playing up for a whole game or, and that, you know, you can do one of the events and that'll just, you know, buy some time or
It's yeah,
it could
it's a
be
good side.
entertaining, and yeah, so good side game in that sense.
Yeah, I was really, pumped when we finally got the All-Star Weekend. I love the dunk contest. I know the 3-point shootout is a better display of skill. Yes, all this purist stuff. Dunks are only worth 2 points. I get it. I'm an old school dunk fan. Love a spectacular dunk. Love that video that Team Flight Brothers just put out not long ago. 58 dunks they haven't done in the dunk contest. That was a really cool video. I'd love to see some of them make the contest. There's some dunks in the NBA Live's All-Star Weekend mode that we haven't seen in the dunk contest either. Some of them might be a little bit impossible, but nevertheless. No, I absolutely think they should bring it back. I was very excited when they added it to Live 2005. It was obviously really hyped when it was added. It was in the You can check out the intro on our YouTube channel, in fact, the intro of NBA Live 2005. The All-Star Weekend is, as you would expect, prominently featured. Very well done with all the different player shooting animations. And this was before signature jump shot styles were really a thing. So to actually see them in the 3-point contest was pretty cool. Dunk contest, I don't think any game has done the dunk contest as well as Live did from 2005 to 2009. It's better than Dunk Hero. For all the good things that the 2K has done in recent years, Dunk Hero is not one of them.
Although from memory, last year's one, I think, or this year's one is different. It's not as Guitar Hero-ish.
But it's still not the same controls that they had. Like, it's still not like Live, is it? Really?
It's been a long time since I got to play it,
Yeah.
but
Well,
from memory, yeah, it didn't feel so Guitar Hero-ish.
sure.
So
But I mean, it's still not the same. I don't think any game has done as well as Live has done it during those years. Even when 2K was having the dunk contest with those more with a similar kind of input, the commands and everything, they did some cool stuff like being able to jump over props
yeah.
in 2K's dunk contest, but they never really had the NBA contest down. It was like a street, it was like a blacktop version of it. My apologies to Jasmine for dissing blacktop. It was fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what 2K did per se. It worked as well. I just think Live's did it better, the dunk contest. I love the dunk contest. I loved even that freestyle challenge where you had the split screen, if you remember the freestyle challenge where
Oh,
you could
yep.
just like a single round, you had to get as many score as many points by doing all the dunks that you could. That was, again, like you say, a fun side game to just play when you don't really have time to play a full game, but oh, I just want to mess around with the basketball game. It's something like that. That's why it's great to have the one-on-one modes and things like that. So I'm all for bringing it back. I think that would add a lot of depth to NBA Live, or indeed more depth to 2K, whoever was to get the license to do it, if there's licensing rights involved there. I absolutely do think that Live should bring it back. And yeah, it was the thing with the dunk contest in Live 2005 to 2009 is that you really needed to master a couple of the automatic 50s. You needed to at least, and the one that you should always get is the double between the legs, the double East Bay Funk Dunk, which was what was the it was 2 foot gather, left modifier, and the same button as 2 foot gather, and that did the between the legs twice. So that was an automatic 50. So you needed to have a few automatic 50s in your up your sleeve, because the computer would definitely it would make all the tough tosses and get the good scores. So if you wanted to win, you would need to have some of those in reserve, just like the real dunk contest, I suppose. But you couldn't really hold back. In fact, it was funny if you performed the basic dunks, how unimpressed the commentators would be. Kenny Smith, it's like, why'd you even do that? Well, why'd you program the controls into the game? No, I'd love to see it again. I hope that they can bring it back in some way, because I think losing that in Live 10 was a big blow.
And you know, especially with now the new hardware that we have, the types of things you do with it and the physics based stuff that they could do with it.
No motion controls, please. We can do without those at least.
It'd be good to play again in a good solid version.
I want to do my honey dip from the free throw line in high def. That's off the bounce. There's another guaranteed 50, actually, if you go back and play those old games.
That was one that I used to do.
Throw the bounce off the backboard, bounce on the backboard, go up, and execute a perfectly timed armpit in the rim dunk, actually. If you hold it down long enough, you don't just do the elbow, and then you do the whole down to the armpit.
Yeah, and you point to the crowd, yeah.
Yep, that's a guaranteed 50. Got to have it.
Yeah, that was one of my signature ones that I used to do when I tried to win it. So I'd save that one for last.
Did you ever pull off a 720 or a 540?
No.
Yeah, you got to... It's a couple of rotations of the stick plus the modifiers.
Okay.
It's doable because I've done it. So if I can do it, a lot of people can, I'm sure. But yeah, it is hard. I don't think I've ever done it in the contest itself, but I have done it in the practice.
Okay.
And that's the other thing. If you do bring the dunk contest back, bring back the practice and have a standalone mode. You know, I'd love to have it in dynasty mode, but the problem with 2Ks is that you have to play through the season to play it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just have a dunk contest any time. That's the problem with the way 2K is done. It's All-Star Weekend festivities. Love to have it again, to be able to just play it whenever you want when you just don't have time for a full game, just want to mess around with a basketball game. Having the All-Star Weekend as a separate mode, a standalone mode that you can play in exhibition as well as integrated into the season, franchise modes, yeah, it needs to be, yeah. I need to pull off my 720 because I'm never going to do it in real life. I think even if I pull the rim down to 8 foot, you know, I don't think I'll get in the full two rotations. Not even when I was a young spry man of not 31.
Try 34.
Yeah, I'm not gonna complain. You win that one. So, hey, speaking of fantastic dunks and things that would be amazing to see in the dunk contest, NBA Jam. There's an article posted on Fox Sports Australia recently. You shared it. I saw you share it on Facebook, so I shared it to our Facebook page as well. A lot of stuff has been discussed before. It's mostly taken from an ESPN interview some time back, but it was worth sharing. I shared it under the caption, you know, things you may or may not know about NBA Jam. Just thought I'd run down some of them really quickly. The NBA initially refused to license the game because they didn't want the NBA logo in, quote, seedy arcade halls. You know, whenever you see movies with villains, you always see these thugs hanging out in arcades, right?
Yep.
Not bars, but arcades. So Midway actually made a tape of well-presented family entertainment centers and sent it to the league to actually show that, yes, a G-rated environment for a G-rated game. So the NBA did change their minds. Of course, Michael Jordan was missing from most of the versions, although a few versions for the arcade did make it out there with him in the game, as well as Gary Payton. Gary Payton would be in later versions of NBA Jam as well. I don't think any of the home versions that aren't modded have Michael Jordan in it. Some of the home versions actually have Charles Barkley. The original version of NBA Jam have Charles Barkley in it. Version 1.0.
Okay.
As Barkley. He was taken out in 1.1. I forget who was replaced. Yeah, originally Barkley and Johnson were in the game, and Kevin Johnson were in the game, if I remember correctly. Because I have played a version, 1.0, that Barkley was actually in. Then I think he was taken out when they made Barkley Shut Up and Jam, which was a mediocre jam clone. I feel it was a mediocre jam clone. Shut Up and Jam. Great name, though.
Yep.
And the Bulls are programmed to fail because Turmel is a Pistons fan, Mark Turmel. So if they were playing against the Pistons, they're programmed to miss. If there's a close game and anyone of the Bulls took a last-second shot, we wrote a special code in the games, they would average out to be bricks. that was kind of... Yeah, you wouldn't really want to do that these days. Shaq used to take NBA Jam on road trips. The best NBA Jam character was Turmel himself. If you look at the screenshot, it's all question marks because they didn't, for the unlockable special characters, they didn't show the stats, but apparently they were all kind of tens or nines. So he's pretty good. So the game is a dark side. Turmel swears the game is haunted. Apparently there was a creepy moment when the game started calling out Petrovic, and it only happened after Drazen Petrovic was tragically killed in a car crash in Germany.
Wow.
Yeah, so something weird was going on with the software to this day. If you have an original NBA Jam machine, every once in a while we'll just yell out to Petrovic. It's wild, so that's kind of eerie. Could have been even darker because Midway was also doing Mortal Kombat at the time. Midway now NetherRealm Studios, of course, and they wanted to have a Mortal Kombat court, which looks really, really cool. Ed Boon has shared that, but the NBA wouldn't go for it, as usual. Made huge revenue. Estimates of how much pocket money NBA Jam pulled in vary between $1 and $2 billion. Some machines are pulling in as much as $2,000 a week.
It was a money-making machine, quite literally.
Yeah, So there's so much four-player action in this one arcade in Chicago. The first week they had to shut the arcade down because there's a huge fight over whose turn it was to play. See, that's for the NBA. There's your seedy arcade halls right there.
Yeah.
And you could play as U.S. president, of course. Bill Clinton was in the game, and Al Gore, Hillary was in there. So a lot of that stuff, you know, I knew or had read before. But yeah, that's certainly some interesting stuff about a game. I mean, NBA Live was the game I played for the Sim stuff back in the day. Your 5-on-5 action. But yeah, I'm a big Jam fan from back in the day as well, which is why it was so cool to see EA reboot it. Yeah. When they got the license.
Yeah, I mean, I still remember a moment when I actually saw that NBA Jam was getting remade and by EA. I was like, yeah, just monitoring the forums on EA's site and that, and sort of saw one of the hidden forums and that, you know, and I saw it and I was like, wait, what?
Really?
Yeah. And this was about a couple of weeks or something just before it was announced. So yeah, that was kind of cool. To see it before it was officially announced and that, so
I still think NBA Jam on Fire Edition is one of the best arcade basketball games that I've played, but I do enjoy the originals as well, particularly Tournament Edition. That's why I did the Wayback Wednesday on that one. So I still remember the Dunk From Anywhere code for the Super Nintendo version of Tournament Edition, left right ABBA. It's almost like the Konami code for me.
Yeah.
So, and as we wrap up our video game discussion, quick question. Between MyGM and MyLeague, what is your preferred mode? I know you want to get into those modes. So which one appeals most to you?
I have to refresh my memory.
MyGM has VC and you can't edit anything. It's more the RPG-based mode, whereas MyLeague is the sandbox mode. MyGM is RPG and story-based. My League, you can create the story yourself, you can edit the teams and things like that, you can control all the teams, etc.
It's probably elements of both, but I think...
My League is basically MyGM, except with some of the story elements stripped out, and that you can do everything. You can modify everything with sliders and everything.
Yeah. I think, like, take the... It's probably... Sorry, MyGM's the non-RPG one, is it?
My League is the sandbox mode.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, so My League, I probably like that one overall because I hate the whole VC tie-in sort of thing, but I do like the element of the story stuff.
They've made MyGM better by removing a lot of the stuff that was behind the VC paywall. Yeah. You remember in 2K14, you had to reorder your roster.
Yeah.
In MyGM, you had to unlock it, you know, which was kind of silly. They've moved away from that, which was fantastic.
Good.
And Leftos has talked about that on when we've had him on the show a couple of times since. So that's what's great about MyGM now. Yeah, I'm the same. Very quick and easy answer for me is My League. I just like the sandbox experience. I would prefer to, whether it's, and that's why I'd love to see Dynasty have the same kind of things that My League has as far as customization and depth. I'd rather create the story myself. I did the story threads for years. Cheap plug, I just talked about story threads in my Monday tip-off column this week. I prefer to do that myself, be in control of the story, as it were. I can picture it in my head. I can get immersed in everything that My League does. I just prefer My League. Both are great modes, and, you know, I always say, oh, I'll check out MyGM, but the VC element, yeah, I don't like as much. So, yeah, My League's is the mode of choice for me.
Nice. Yeah, I think that would be the overall one for me. And the fact that you can create your own story is good.
I love that they have both. You know, people say, why do we double up on them? But obviously people do like the story-driven aspects of MyGM, but they also want the sandbox stuff. So, and you can't really disable it in one mode. And I imagine it'd be much harder to disable those elements. So much better to have that full sandbox mode and the GM mode. I mean, I'd like to have that in my career. I'd like to have a My League equivalent of my career that I could play the single player one, but without having to go through all the story. So that in fact, there's a wish list on for 2K17. Two separate career modes: the story driven one and the sandbox one.
And let's hope both not tied into VC.
Oh well, it'll always be there. What can you do? So that's pretty much it for the video game discussion this week. Thank you again for the topics. We also have quite a few topics about the NBA this week, of course. Big NBA fans, go figure, we play NBA video games. Of course, you follow the NBA as well. You know that if you've tuned into the podcast before. So we're coming up on the mid-season at the moment. All-Star Weekend is a few weeks away. All-Star Weekend, although it's considered the mid-season classic, is actually slightly past the real midway point as far as half of 82 games. We are basically in mid-season right now, so we thought we'd catch up on the week in action and also talk about some mid-season surprises and disappointments that's been suggested to us. So Here's a surprise for today, at least. The Golden State Warriors lost game number 3 to the Denver Nuggets. So the teams that have beaten the Warriors so far, if you're keeping score, are the Bucks, who were the first to do it, then the Mavericks, and now the Denver Nuggets. So everyone that we predicted, all the teams that we predicted to beat the Warriors, right?
Yeah, no. It's pretty much some of the most unlikely teams, but that's the way it usually goes. You know, you play so hard against the good teams and that you end up losing against the bad ones.
Oh, yeah. And they are 36-3, losers. but that is actually equal pace with the same point in the 96 season with the Bulls. So they are still very much on track to challenge that 72-10 record.
Actually, there's a couple other teams as well that they're tied with regards to that record. That are
yes.
3-26, or 36, sorry.
36-3, yeah. So a lot of teams have had that great start. The Bulls had the great finish, of course, just to mention that. Enjoy being a Bulls fan, I suppose. Because the last week hasn't been kind to me, as you'll find out when we talk about our bowl predictions. My apologies to fellow Bulls fans, I did that. So, yeah, the Warriors had been winning up until the Nuggets. They are still undefeated at home. I think they've won like 36 in a row at home. 30-plus wins at home.
I think it's something along the lines of that.
The Spurs, meanwhile, are 22-0 at home this year. So they're off to a great start as far as the 2016 season is concerned. The Spurs are undefeated at home as well, 22-0. The Warriors are 18-0 this season. The Thunder, the Clippers have won 10 in a row. The Thunder and the Clippers are right behind San Antonio. Well, six losses behind, 28-12 and 26-13. So they've pulled it together. Clippers have won 10. They've still been winning with Blake Griffin out with injury. I believe he's coming back in a couple of weeks. After that, it's sort of a bit of a drop off down to 22-18 with the Mavericks, and there's only 7 teams in the West above 500. I think that's actually one of my surprises of the season. I mean, I actually wrote a Friday 5 before the season began and said that I thought there'd be more equality between the East and the West this year. Yeah. But to actually see it kind of turn on its head, and the East have so many teams above 500. For a while there was 10 teams in the East with 500 above 500. There's 9 at the moment, and then the Knicks are 20-21, so they're on the verge of going, you know, a run. If the Knicks can string a few wins together, they'll actually get above 500 again. So, and as are the Wizards, they're 18-19. So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of teams only just under 500 as well in the East compared to the West. It's, I think that's one of the biggest surprises. I thought they'd be better. I didn't know whether they'd be that much better.
Yeah, you know, it is such a contrast from last year in that sense. So, got to hand it to the East.
Not just last year, the last decade or so,
yeah,
really.
That's true. But, you know, given that last year people were crying out for that.
Oh, the change in the system, yeah. So, format. Now it's on its head, and it's like, yeah, look how this evens itself out. That's what I always said, you know. It's why I didn't want the format to change, because, oh, a couple of teams in the West that weren't going to compete for the championship anyway miss out. Well, the West is just really competitive at the moment. Now that the East is more competitive, do we change it? No. You know, it's just the way it goes sometimes. I know that's a very simplistic answer, but...
Knee-jerk reactions aren't always, but get the best results anyway, so...
Yeah, it's still evens itself. You know, the top teams are still making the playoffs. I do think that reordering at 1-8 was a better idea. You know, that if you win the division, you will be in the playoffs, but you won't necessarily get a top 4 seed. That's fair enough. Yeah, that's a worthwhile change. The Warriors being this good and Stephen Curry playing well, I think that is a surprise. I mean, they had a great season last year, but I mean, this is any time a team is off to a historic pace. You know, that is a bit of a surprise. I don't think anyone predicted this high. I think a lot of people before the season, including NBA GMs, were saying this was going to be the Cavs' year.
Yeah, well, you know, considering the Big 3 format in Miami and that, it took them a year to really be able to prove themselves in that sense. So
they're 27-9. They've won 8 in a row as we're recording this. So the Cavs aren't doing too badly themselves, despite Kyrie Irving only just coming back from injury last week or so. Well, last couple of weeks. A couple of weeks now. Time is just... Well, I can't believe we're 2 weeks into 2016 already.
I know, it's just going so fast. And, yeah.
I think Porzingis has been a... Kristaps Porzingis has been a... I said Porzingis. he's been a pleasant surprise for the Knicks, you know? So, that's... it's great to see with this thread in the forum talking about him and Karl Anthony Towns. And Okafor's kind of in the discussion as well as far as players who could... You know, some really good crop... could be coming out of this. Bobby Portis getting some good minutes in Chicago. Chicago would probably be my disappointment, actually. Derrick Rose just only showing flashes. He seems to be finally healthy, but it's just not coming together for him, whether it's the offense or whatever. That's my disappointment. You know, it's obviously biased because I'm a Bulls fan, but and they are third in the East, so they could be a lot worse for them. They had won six in a row before dropping the last three. So I mean, it could be worse, but that would be my disappointment, I think. Okay. And the Pelicans.
Yeah, the Pelicans are a bit of a surprise this year in terms of not performing as well as I thought they would as well. I would have thought they'd have a couple more wins under the belt.
Injuries haven't helped. I don't think the new system is necessarily helping either with Anthony Davis shooting threes or shooting out of his range. His numbers aren't bad, but as I said in the forum today, they're not as beastly as I thought they'd be. They're actually a little bit, across the board, they're down from last year.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, you know, when me and my mates were doing a fantasy league draft and we did it at one of our friends' places, you know, and even building up to like 2 weeks beforehand, every time we caught up, you know, we were discussing who was going to go, who would you pick first, and every time I was picking Anthony Davis and
the Brow, yeah. Before the season began, the GM survey, who would you take if you were starting a franchise today? Anthony Davis. I think a lot of people take Stephen Curry now, probably.
Yeah, and so yeah, it's just interesting, and I think the Pelicans have messed up in terms of trying to change the way he plays in one season. Get him to practice that stuff, you know, but don't bring him in for another year or two till he's, you know, better at it. Or, you know, if it's late in the season and, you know, you're sort of just outside, then yeah, you maybe, you know, then that's when you can start playing around with it and, you know, introduce it a little bit earlier than, so that way you can sort of be prepared and playing it, taking those longer range shots in an actual game environment. So yeah, and yeah, given this dominant stats that he had from last year, is projecting him to, you know, bump it up just a fraction bit more, or at least be as consistent in that. So it was consistent. So yeah, I don't know. I think they messed up with that decision.
Yeah, it certainly hasn't panned out. This a disappointment after they made the playoffs last year and made that push and managed to knock the Thunder out of playoff contention last year in the last game of the season. Definitely a step back this year. Rockets have probably been a disappointment as well.
Oh yeah,
I don't think either of us are necessarily personally disappointed by it, but you know they were.
I think that one of the
top team
biggest surprises in terms of I'd say that one of the biggest surprises and disappointments in that sort of sense.
They have won five in a row. They're back above 500. They're back in the playoff picture. So.
Yeah, given that you know where they were at last season and that. So
how about Detroit? There's a surprise.
Yeah, that's a good surprise there. Very strong this season, so
to Drummond.
Yeah. Again, conversation with friends, you know, like we're discussing, you know, whether Drummond would be reliable enough, would his stats sort of stay about the same or go a little bit lower kind of thing, or would he improve in that? You know, we're having discussions about that, so it's good to see him being improved and being consistent still.
Yeah, a lot of teams playing a bit better than we expected. Some players obviously having some great performances as well, headed up by all the great things that Stephen Curry is doing. His player efficiency rating, his PER has dropped from 34 to 31.7. Terrible. but that's more in line of the best marks set by, at least in the post-merger era, by Jordan and LeBron James. So he's certainly in good company still with his performance. 31.7 PER. Some other, and that's the funny thing. You got Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant on the same team doing 29.5 and 28.3. LeBron James himself 27.2. Some very efficient players right now, but he just seems to be ahead of the pack. But Curry is currently slated to start in the All-Star game as of the second returns. We talked about the first returns last week. Second returns came out about a week ago, so right after we finished recording, of course. So currently in the front court, it's still for the East. It is still LeBron, Paul George, and Andre Drummond. Guards are Dwayne Wade and Kyrie Irving. Jimmy Butler, sadly, lagging behind, just to throw that out there early. In the West, the front court, Kobe, Durant, and now, interestingly, Draymond Green is pulled ahead of Kawhi Leonard and Blake Griffin. So at the moment, that's a pretty small front court, although Draymond Green is used to being part of a small front court, and it's worked out quite well for him. And the guards are Stephen Curry and Russell Westbrook. So pretty much the same as last time, except for Draymond Green. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I reckon so. I mean, the way Draymond Green has played the last, say, 2 weeks in particular has been really good, and so I can see why he's
He
jumped
is.
up.
I don't know whether because it. I can see him if he makes it, then they're probably gonna have Klay Thompson as well and Stephen Curry. I'm not sure that they should have three All Stars. I mean, there's unless you've kind of got a situation where you've got three bona fide All Star players like the Heat did, or the Celtics in the '80s, or the Lakers in the '80s, or maybe I'm just salty because the Bulls never had three representatives. Actually, no, I tell a lie. I tell a lie. They did. I believe they did in 1994. Horace Grant, B.J. Armstrong, and Scottie Pippen. I don't think they ever had three representatives when Jordan was playing on the team. So, and Rodman should have made it at least in 96. But that's beside the point. I mean, Draymond Green is having a great season. I mean, it's starting to almost not too close to averaging a triple double, but also not that far off either. It's almost Jason Kidd numbers with his just flipping around the rebounds and the assists. I don't have a great too many arguments about the starters, but with the starters being as they are, if it continues along that trend, who do we think should be the reserves? And I'm going to throw a couple of names out there. I've got the some stats up here already. Kawhi Leonard
Yep.
should make his first All-Star game a couple of years after actually making the being a Finals MVP. Why not? Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Let's see if Blake Griffin's healthy, possibly Blake Griffin.
Him over LaMarcus Aldridge.
Aldridge, I'd say so.
Okay.
I'd say so.
I mean, I can understand the change from Portland to San Antonio. There's not as much burden as on him in San Antonio to
To lead.
it's more of a team ball effort there as opposed to what was happening in Portland. So
Jimmy Butler.
yeah, Butler deserves a spot.
Kyle Lowry. Raptors are third in the East. I almost said West for some reason. He's 15th in the league in player efficiency rating. He's got some pretty good numbers across the board.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I've not really been much of a fan of his or really pay much attention, but I know has played well. I was just trying to remember if it was this season or last season that he was.
Damian Lillard.
I'd probably give him a spot.
The Blazers, the only problem that might work against him with the Blazers is 17-24, although he's doing pretty well himself. Paul George, of course, is in the so DeMarcus Cousins, averaging 20 and 10.
I mean he's definitely got the stats for it.
Would you put Anthony Davis in there? He's on a losing team, but he is putting up still pretty decent numbers and another 20 and 10 player. If you put in Cousins, you've got to, I think, consider Anthony Davis as well, because again, they're both on losing
Yeah,
teams.
well, Davis was in it last year, wasn't he?
He was an all-star last year, yes.
I'd give him, he generally is about the better performing players, I guess, in that sense. It's just a weird situation going on for the team over there, but we know what he's capable of, so yes.
Let's see. Klay Thompson, would you put Klay in? He's top 20 in the league in scoring, and he's been car he did carry them a little bit with Curry when he Curry missed a few games.
True. I was trying to remember if he's had a better season than he did last year, that's all.
Put anyone from the Rockets? Would you put a Dwight Howard or a James Harden? Putting aside any personal dislike for them,
Also, I could see James Harden getting in. He'll have that public.
Harden over Howard, yeah.
Other than that, no one else really. I don't think Dwight deserves it.
Not with the numbers issue
No.
now. Here's an interesting one. Whiteside, Hassan Whiteside. He's up there in player efficiency rating. He's obviously blocking a lot of shots, averaging a double double, up there in rebounds.
Yeah, as a reserve, yes. I think he's potentially deserved it.
John Wall for the Wizards. They're struggling a bit, but he's playing pretty well himself.
I think Wall has shown that he can he can perform and that his stats are generally good these last 2 years that he hasn't been too injured, so yeah.
Here's an interesting one. The Celtics aren't doing too bad. Isaiah Thomas, not to be confused with Isaiah Thomas.
I need a
21.6 points a game. What's he have on the assists? 6.7 assists per game. He's up there in efficiency. He's 20th in efficiency, 21.9. Possibly.
I say borderline. I think I would want him to have one more season like that before saying yeah. Just because I mainly see him more as has been like a shoot first sort of point guard. But
Kevin Love?
What's his numbers been like?
He's averaging, let's see, 10 rebounds, 16 points, 2.5 assists, just under a steal and a block a game.
Yeah.
Not shooting the ball particularly well. I think if you've got Irving and... I mean, Irving's going to get there on the popular vote anyway. If you've got Irving and LeBron, I think probably... Yeah, I don't know if I'd go with Love at this point.
Yeah, possibly not. Only if the fact
per 30, that... Per 36, 18 and 9. That's pretty good. Oh, sorry, 18 and 12, rather. Per 36.
The only way I'd sort of see him is if, you know, the East were lacking bigs to play for rebounds and stuff like that. So it'd be the... If they're needing one more big man, then... Yeah, just for the rebound factor and, I guess, some points.
Let's see. Marc Gasol, 16 and 7. Hasn't been playing quite as well this year.
No, there's a bit of a drop-off from last year, so possibly no.
I'd also probably not put Powell there in this year either. I was going to say, would you put Duncan in there as a kind of a legacy pick like you would with Kobe? He's averaging less than 10 points a game. And, well, per 36, he's averaging 12 and... 12 and 11, but I don't know. It's going to be weird to see Duncan not there. Although he didn't get picked in 2014, oddly.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that.
Look, if it was known if it was going to be his last year, I'd say, yeah, it's sort of like what's happening with Kobe. But if the numbers
aren't quite there.
I think Aldridge there too, kind of overshadow. I'd probably go Aldridge over Duncan at this stage.
Carmelo Anthony?
No.
No.
I mean, yeah, the Knicks are having a better season, but no.
Dirk Nowitzki?
Is he doing better than last season?
Slightly. He's doing at least on par, 17 points, more rebounds, seven rebounds a game, 89% free throws.
We'll put borderline for him, I think.
Borderline for Dirk, because Mavericks are not doing too bad. Anyone else that comes to mind? I'll just also take a look at the some of the other people getting votes. Chris Bosh?
Yeah, Bosch is certainly having a good season.
Let's see. DeMar DeRozan?
Ooh, the Lakers want to give max contract.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
I suppose reserve factor. Yeah, I mean, he'll add a bit of entertainment factor with some dunks. Borderline, I'd say for him.
Borderline? Yeah. I'm just looking for anyone for the Hawks. I guess it'd probably be someone like Millsap, wouldn't it? Let's see. What's he doing? Let's take a look. Bring up his numbers real quick. So Millsap is averaging 18 points this season, so it's a bit up with DeMarre Carroll in Toronto. He's averaging about 18 and 9, shooting just under 50% from the field. Hawks are fourth in the East at the moment, 23 and 16.
Not exciting enough for a player.
Not exciting enough? Fair enough.
Yep.
So, I mean, those are some pretty good candidates, I think, for the most part. So we haven't really constructed... proper list of reserves, but I think probably some of those players I would definitely be sending to the game. Jimmy Butler is the guy. I feel Jimmy Butler should be starting. That's just me and my bias. But although I think he's playing pretty well this season. He's carrying the Bulls a lot more than Derrick Rose.
Yep.
Rose is getting votes, but no. Every time I see the Bulls Facebook page pop up in my news feed with encouraging me to vote to send Derrick Rose to the All-Star game, I'm like, look, I like him and everything and wish he was playing better, but no. I can't cast my vote that way, not this year, I'm sorry. But that'll be fun to see. You know, I think the starters, it'd certainly be interesting if Draymond Green ends up getting the starter and they've got the small, you know, they're playing small ball on the All-Star game as well.
That's true. And how much court time? Like, obviously, it'll either be /Kerr/ Walton, who'll be the coach for the West, and that'd be interesting to see how much court time he gives they give their guys, you know, to sort of keep them fresh for the remainder of the season. So bit of strategic play there if they really want to try and break that 72-10.
Well, the West coach would probably be Greg Popovich it's interesting because Kerr coached last year, and technically Kerr's not coaching at the moment, but the Warriors still had the representative last year, so I'm guessing Luke Walton won't be able to coach. So it'll probably be Popovich. So that'll be interesting to see Popovich coaching another All-Star game. So certainly not the first one he's coached, of course. But so that's happening in about a month's time. So we will we'll see how the final returns come out with the balloting and whether it's whether people like Green end up still being there or whether players like Griffin or Butler can end up leapfrogging them. But we've got some, I guess, some shorter questions, quick hitting questions to wrap up with before we have our bowl predictions and a fun topic to end on this week. But here's one that's perhaps submitted for my benefit. It's a Bulls question. Who do you think is most likely to be traded before the deadline? Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson, or Jimmy Butler? I'm going to say none. If the question is who will, I'm going to say none. Who should? Rose is the only one I'd probably deal out of those. Possibly Noah. I don't think you can trade Rose. not with that contract, not with the way he's playing. Definitely not Butler and not Gibson. I would trade Noah and Rose for the right deal if there's some decent players coming the other way and not some terrible contracts. But of course, with Derrick Rose in particular, a terrible contract or two is coming the other way, so yeah. No. Most likely, a lot of the question is most likely, which is the question. Out of that one, most likely, if was going to be happen, Noah, most likely none of them will be traded.
Yeah, I think Butler and Gibson, you know, they've been the fitter out of the lot and less injury prone, although Gibson's had a couple, hasn't he? But nothing.
Gibson has, yeah. But Noah and Rose are definitely more banged up in recent years.
I don't think you really, as much as you'll probably want to try and shop Derrick Rose, I don't think you're going to get any offers. I think
no, you're not going to be able to. Not until he's an expiring contract next year, anyway. Yep. And even then, I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll have to take some crap in return, basically, to make get that deal done. So, and if you want to make a trade, it has to be either set you up for you need to get better, or set yourself up to get better, like clearing up cap space or something. So, yep. I don't think they can actually do that with trading Rose. I think that's kind of got to come down to playing out the contract and then seeing what happens with him next. Sadly. Aside from the Nets, who do you think should blow it up, front office, coaching staff, this season? The Nets, of course, just fired Lionel Hollins and reassigned Billy King, no longer the GM. So they're in overhaul mode, I guess you could say. What are they currently? They are second last in the East, 11-28. That would also make them third worst in the league, ahead of the Lakers and Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers are 4-36, so Sixers might actually avoid having the worst record of all time. Maybe. So who do you think should blow it up? As far as goodbye coach, goodbye front office, let's bring in some new personnel.
I think they definitely need to get rid of... Is Deron Williams still there, or is he on the Mavs? I'm trying to remember.
He's on the Mavs, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, this is just the front office personnel. Yeah. Like, not necessarily who you'd bring in, but who do you think just needs a change of management? You know who I really think needs a change of management and coaching staff and everyone? The Lakers. Yep. I don't think the Buses are doing their late father particularly proud. I don't think Byron Scott is the former player, to coach them long term. I'm not sure that he's the right person to develop those young players. I think the Lakers are very dysfunctional. Obviously, they need to basically get past the Kobe retirement tour and move on. And I think they need some fresh leadership.
I agree. I think the Lakers definitely need to do that. And, you know, there was talk that Jenny Buss had said, you know, if her, it's her brother, isn't it? Didn't.
If her brother, Jim,
didn't get the team playoff bound within a certain time frame, then his job was gone. So I'd like to see that happen.
Nice to be seen. Yeah, very controversial. What happens there? Does Phil Jackson leave the Knicks and go back to the Lakers?
Well, he'd be reunited with his girlfriend, wouldn't he?
With his wife, yeah.
Well, they married.
They are married, okay. Yeah. He has yet another ring to his collection. So.
Oh, that just reminded me of the Kobe retirement clip.
Yes. Hey, good segue, because from the Lakers and Kobe, what number should the Lakers retire? 8 or number 24? And I'm writing number 24 for Kobe. I think we've talked about it before, but in case our minds have changed, I think both. I think why not both?
I think there have been discussion about both. If they had to go one way, I think 8. I think that was more prominent with these championship years.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Because he's worn, now that he's a 20-year pro, he's actually worn 8 and 24 for exactly half his career each, 10 years each. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to divide up in that respect. I honestly think both. I think why not? I mean, we're in a crazy time, Ben. We're in a time when a whole starting lineup can win Player of the Month.
Yeah.
So end times, man. But so retire them both. 8 or 24, 8 and 24, I should say. If they had to pick one, though, absolutely had to pick one. Yeah, do the first number 8.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think if one had to be selected, it'd definitely be 8. But I think they're going to do both.
Yeah, do both. Why not?
It's...
Bull should retire 45 simply because it's cursed.
Yeah.
Should Kevin Garnett get a similar send-off to Kobe?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. He's long been one of my favorite non-Bulls. I almost said non-favorite Bulls then. One of my favorite non-Bulls, except in my NBA Live 2004 dynasty, of course, when he was a Bull. In exchange for Marcus Fizer, Roger Mason Jr., and Jalen Rose. Best trade I've ever made in a video game. I think he should. The tough thing is, I think he's got one more year in his contract. It's whether he's going to come back. Because at the moment, he's barely playing 10 minutes a game. So I think he does deserve a send-off. Don't really think you can send him to the All-Star game when he's only playing less than 10 minutes a game. Or I think he's about 12 minutes per game on the season, but recently he's been playing less than 10. Hard to send him to the All-Star game for that. But, yeah, I mean, I think he's, I don't want to say underrated, KG, but sometimes underappreciated. Is that fair?
I'm not sure. I mean,
we talk about Kobe, we talk about Duncan, we talk about Shaq of that era, rightfully so, Allen Iverson, etc. KG's always up there, but I mean, you look at some of the numbers he posted in his prime. You know, it was legitimate for a while. You know, who is the better player, Duncan or Garnett? And it kind of switched year by year. I mean, Duncan had the championships, of course. Had KG played on a team, teammates like Duncan for many years, he might have a few more championships. As it was, he went to two finals when he did have better teammates in Boston. So I do think he should get the honors. I think he should have his number retired in both Boston and Minnesota. The 21-5.
Yeah.
Not so much the two in Brooklyn.
Definitely not.
So that brings us to our new favorite recurring segment, where one of us is doing well and one of us is not. But it is time once again for bowl predictions for next week. And I am now 0-5 in our bowl predictions. Ben, you are 4-1 or 4-5. I said last week that the Bulls would go undefeated next week. Got off to a good start as they won the game the next day and then proceeded to lose the next three. So, yep, I've missed out on that one. You said the Knicks would go 2-2. They did, so congratulations.
Thank you.
You are, as I said, you are 80% at the moment. You are off to a San Antonio Spurs-like start. I'm off to a 76ers-like start. I do want to get on the board. I'm not trying to tank this one, though. I'm going to this week's prediction for next week, I'm going to revisit an old prediction that I made for Christmas Day, but now the teams are reversed as far as who's home and away. Now, on Christmas Day, I said the Cavs would take down the Warriors in Golden State. I'm going to stick with the Cavs winning, but now the Cavs are going to be at home. So my bold prediction is the Warriors will lose their fourth game to the Cavs next week. I was originally going to say that they were going to lose two in a row for the first time and say they lose to the Cavs and then the Bulls, but I'm not doing too well with the Bulls predictions. You know, even when I said the Bulls would lose on Christmas Day, which was your prediction that they would win, and they did. So I can't pick the Bulls. I'm a fan of the Bulls. I can't pick what they're going to do. But I will say the Warriors lose their fourth game to the Cavs next week in Cleveland.
Okay. Well, my bold one was that the Hornets were going to win two out of their four games next week. So similar to what I said last week in terms, but it's just a different team.
So basically you're saying the Hornets will go 2-2 over the next
yep.
week. Okay, so the Warriors, Hornets were on a losing streak for a while. They have turned it around.
Yep.
Well, they've at least stopped the bleeding. They won one game. They are 18-20, so they're just a couple of games back of that race for eighth in the East, which is really going to be a tight race this year, at least it seems to be. So those are our bold predictions. Let's see if I can get on the board. You know, let's throw out a bold prediction. You know, if you want to throw out a bold prediction in the comments, whether I'll get on the board or not. Your bold predictions, my bold predictions, but we will see. So we are drawing to the end of another episode of the NLC podcast. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it. I hope the audio has been good. I'll certainly find out soon enough when I start editing. But talk this week about the big Powerball lottery in the US. And this has led to an infographic that you sent along to me today. With Wednesday's Powerball lump sum winnings, $930 million, you could potentially afford these big four franchises. None of the NFL teams, but certainly a lot of NHL teams. Quite a few NBA teams and a few Major League Baseball teams, including the Rays, the Oakland A's, the Oakland Athletics, the Indians, the Rockies in the NBA, the Cavs, the Thunder, the Raptors, Pistons. I'm not going to read them all out. The 76ers, if you want to get on board with the Hinkies vision. Timberwolves, Pelicans, Hornets. If you want to add to Michael Jordan's coffers, you can buy the Hornets apparently for $930 million, and Oilers, Capitals, and the Jersey Devils. I'm just going by the logos that I recognize from the NHL. So, okay, so there's a lot of teams you could buy for $930 million in the Big Four, except for the NFL. I guess that's where all the money is these days. They got no salary cap in the NFL, do they?
Not.
Was that Major League Baseball?
I think that's baseball.
Yeah, there are some huge contracts in baseball. Yep. So of the... Well, I'll run through the NBA teams, since I guess that's what we're focused on. Timberwolves, 76ers, Bucks, Pelicans, Hornets, Grizzlies, Pistons, Kings, Pacers, Hawks, Jazz, Nuggets, Wizards, Magic, Cavaliers, Suns, Raptors, and Thunder. Which one would you buy?
I was going to jokingly say the Pistons and mess with Leftos.
Okay. See, that's what you're going to do with my GM and my league.
But I don't know. There's a couple of teams that look at me, like Charlotte maybe, the Thunder, I guess, or, you know, Durant and all that, whether you could retain them when they're free agents. Cleveland, I don't know. Do you really see a championship coming to Cleveland in any sport anytime soon? I don't know.
Well, they were two games away from it last year. I'm actually going with the Cavs. I'm going with the Cavs. Okay. You know how much money that LeBron's jerseys probably make?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that's the merchandising, and they're not doing too bad right now. So you know what?
True, good point.
I'll go for the Cavs. I mean, that's a lot of money that you're paying out in salaries as well. But you know what? I've just won the lottery. I got $930 million to blow on a franchise. Yep. So why not?
That's a good point. I didn't think of that in terms of jersey sales and revenue from that. So
I'll make it back. Yep. Yeah. Don't you worry.
Well, I suppose if I took over the Thunder, I could rebrand them, couldn't I?
Oh, that's a good idea. Back to Seattle, logo.
Yeah, yeah. And then get rid of that crappy logo and crappy uniform.
Yeah, just one that's more like the 96 logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that logo. It's one of my favorite logos of all time. I'm just a sucker for the late 90s, what can I say?
Yeah, all right, I'll go with the Thunder and I'll make Seattle fans happy and I'll make the rest of the NBA fans happy by getting rid of that trash logo and uniform that they have as the Thunder.
So that's nice. You're taking the altruistic. You're doing it for the good of the league, the good of people of Seattle. I'm just all about the money, apparently, with the Cavs and the jersey sales. So send your hate mail to andrew@nbalive.com. Apparently, and yeah. So that has brought us to the end of another episode of the NLSC podcast, episode number 141. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, why not subscribe to us on iTunes? You can also catch us on Stitcher if you're on the go, or keep streaming it on the site, of course, as long as you're tuning in every week and enjoying it. That's the main thing. You can follow us on Twitter @the NLSC, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. Feel free to hit us up there if you need to interact with us. And of course, keep it locked to NBA-live.com, the NLSC itself, for all the content we do, original content throughout the week, our great modding community, the forum, all that fun stuff that we love to have everyone participate in. But until next week and episode number 142, that will do it. So I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane, and I quickly got to run.
And I will see you next week.
See ya.
And Arcane will probably be there too. See you next week.